Our scripture this morning comes to us from Psalm 139, which can be found on page 577 for anyone who wants to read along. A beautiful work of poetry and praise to God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me become night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your books were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. And this is where a common reading would end, or it would skip to the last two verses. But we're going to actually let the psalmist say his full piece, because he goes on to say, in a huge shift, oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who would speak maliciously of you and lift themselves up against you for evil? Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What a wonderful, beautiful, powerful psalm. A psalm filled with the promise of God's tender, persistent, and watchful care. As Jeremy Toxler puts it, the psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You have searched me. The word can have the sense of digging into, of drilling down. Lord, you have excavated me. One person translates it, Lord, in kind of a 60s fashion, Lord, you dig me. You dig me, Lord. God digs you. When no one else notices you, when no one else has the time to bother, God searches you. You are endlessly, fascinatingly interesting to God. God doesn't get tired of you. God searches you. God knows you. This is the God whose eye is on the sparrow. This is the God who keeps your tears in a bottle. This is the God who took out the divine knitting needles and crocheted you together stitch by stitch in your mother's womb. This is the God who tallies the number of every hair on your head. This is the God for whom there is no anonymous sheep, to whom nobody is a write-off, for whom no one is lost in the crowd, the personal God who loves the number one, the one lost sheep, the one missing coin, the one sinner lost and found. It is a beautiful celebration of God's love, expressed using some of the most poetic language found anywhere in Scripture. It is majestic, it is intimate, it is evocative, it is absolutely lovely. But if we are going to be completely honest, it is also a little creepy. Because doesn't God come off as something of a stalker in this psalm? God hems us in, behind and before. There's nowhere we can escape. We can't even get away from God in death. Before we were born, even after we die, there is God. As one person, one translator put it, if I top the clouds and mount to the stratosphere, you. If I roll out of a sleeping bag down in the lowest basement of hell, you. If I catch a pre-dawn flight over the farthest ocean, you. This is the height, breadth, depth of the love of Christ. Even there, your right hand holds me by the scruff of the neck. Even the darkness, even my darkness, is not dark to you, O God. I pull down the shade. I turn out the lights. I hide under the bed or beneath the shade of my self-deception, and I might as well be in a spotlight because you, God, again. This song about God's love actually reminded those of us in Bible study on Wednesday of the 1983 hit by the Police, Every Breath You Take. Sting wrote this song in the aftermath of his separation from actress Frances Tumulty, and the split was controversial at the time. It created a lot of, he was having an affair with her best friend, yada, yada. And so he ran away to the Caribbean to get out of the spotlight of the press. And while he was there, he remembers that he woke up in the middle of the night with that line in his head, every breath you take. And he sat down at the piano and had it half written in a half an hour. The tune itself, he says, is generic, an aggregate of hundreds of others. But the words, he says, are interesting. It sounds at first like a comforting love song. I didn't realize, he said at the time, how sinister it is. I think I was thinking of Big Brother, surveillance and control. Sting later said that he was disconcerted by how many people think this song is more positive than it is. He insists it's about the obsession of a lost lover and the jealousy and surveillance that follow. If you haven't done so before, listen to the words. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see? You belong to me. My poor heart aches with every step you take, every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. Reflecting on the meaning of the song, Sting told a BBC reporter, I think that the song is very, very sinister and ugly. And people have actually misinterpreted it as being a gentle little love song when it's quite the opposite. One couple once told Sting, oh, we love that song. It was the main song played at our wedding. And he remembers thinking, well, then good luck to you. But can't the same be said about this psalm? People embrace it as a gentle little love song from God to us, yet is it actually quite the opposite? I think the answer depends completely on the nature of God, doesn't it? A human stalker is unquestionably dangerous. They delude themselves into believing that their behavior is an expression of love, that they are watching out for the other person, when in actuality they're only watching out for themselves, defending their imagined claim on the life of the other, unable to recognize or honor the otherness of the person with whom they have become obsessed. Is that really what God is like? After all, the psalm declares that God knows everything we do. Before a word is on our tongue, God already knows it completely. And God is everywhere we go. If we go to heaven, God is there. If we go to the depths of Sheol, God is there. If we take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest edges of the sea, even there, God's hand and presence will guide us and hold us fast. You can't even hide from God, because the darkest hidey hole that you can find isn't dark to God. Dark, light, it's all the same, which would be terrifying if this were not also the God who creates us, who knits us together in our mother's womb, who encircles our life from before we draw our first breath to after we draw our last with concern and love and grace. A stalker is frightening and creepy because in their delusion, they think they know us. They think they own us. They think we should be as dependent on them as they have become on us. But with God, it isn't delusion. And thankfully, it isn't dangerous. God does indeed know us. We do indeed belong to God. And we are dependent on God. The one who created us is the continuing source of our life, which isn't to say that this reality is always a comfortable one for us. Think about all the secrets in your life, the memories of your most embarrassing moments, your grand failures, your judgmental attitudes, your deep-seated insecurities. Think of all of the things that you try so hard to keep hidden from others, certainly, but sometimes even from yourself. None of that is hidden from God. Every thought is laid bare before God. God even knows our words before we speak them. This is how I've come to understand that bloodthirsty part that's often skipped over in this psalm. It feels so out of place in this otherwise beautiful, if unsettling, celebration of God's knowledge and care for us. But God is even present in the midst of this diatribe by David, where he claims a perfect hatred, as if there could be such a thing, of his enemies, and wishes God would just wipe them off the face of the earth. God is even there. God is even in that moment. God is certainly with those enemies. After all, it is David who is the one who is declaring hatred toward them, not God. And God is also with David, locked as he is in hatred and the desire for vengeance. Even there, God's love reaches out to David and holds him fast. Like so much of Scripture, the message of this psalm is both the best of all possible news and the hardest kind of news to take in, much less accept. It is great, good news because it is God who creates and loves us. Yes, it is disconcerting that God knows us so thoroughly, and it is hard because we like to think of ourselves as independent, don't we? Always projecting the best image of ourselves that we can possibly muster. So the fact that God sees through that facade, that God knows the whole truth and nothing but the truth, can make us feel a little squirmy and uncomfortable. Clarence Jordan, the Southern theologian, during the civil rights movement, describes our conflicted response to God's all-knowingness this way. As long as God was an idea, an abstraction, a feeling, we were fine with God. But then Jesus showed up in the flesh, looking at us with those excavating eyes. God was suddenly as real and tangible on earth as in heaven. And we decided it wasn't a good place for God to be. Jordan says that it felt like there was a preacher in the barbershop. It felt like there was a nun in the bar or a monk at the bachelor party. So we said, Jesus, we have to watch ourselves too much around you. And so be a good God and go back home where you belong, and maybe we'll see you of a Sunday sometime. Then we rolled a stone in front of the tomb. There is no doubt that it is a fearful thing to be known by God. We do not want to be known that intimately. But this searching, all-knowing God doesn't leave us alone. This God will not go away. As we will remember over the next 2 weeks, we tried to kill him. And even that didn't work. Jesus just came back and said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I remember a friend of mine in Colorado who lived a hard life. And he finally just got fed up with God. He came to me one Sunday and announced that he was done with faith. He was done with God. He simply wasn't going to believe any of it anymore. And my answer was, okay, that's his choice. He can be done with God. However, I was pretty sure, I told him, that God wasn't done with him yet. After all, where could he go from God's Spirit or flee from God's presence? So here's the bottom line. Whether this psalm makes you feel liberated or claustrophobic, the wonderful and fearful, good but admittedly hard news is this. God knows you. God loves you. God reaches out for you again and again and again, encircling your life. There is nothing you can do and nowhere you can go that is beyond that reach. The reach of God's relentless, enduring, disrupting, all-knowing, and all-embracing love. God is as persistent as a stalker, and God will keep after you until you are cornered with nowhere left to go. But then, God will encircle you with mercy and grace and love, all in an effort to set you free and make you new to the glory of God. Amen.